Scream, please. Ah! Yeah. Motherfuck. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to the call sheet. I'm Keith Coogan. You may know me from such public service announcements as VD, your enemy overseas, or nuclear energy, your fun, friendly friend. Anyway, we are here tonight live. It is January 19th. Is that what they said the date was?
Sure.
Los Angeles, California. It's 2013. Mm. I have a zoo of great folks here tonight. We are joined by Andras Jones.
I'm joining you.
He's this guy that's done a lot of things. And he's also a pop oracle and has a thing called Radio 8 Ball. An experience. I couldn't say a show, a radio, a TV. It's everything.
You've done it on stage. It's a format. It's a musical divination format where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting the randomly chosen songs as the answers to the questions, like picking musical tarot cards.
I like divination.
And we'll do some demonstrations. Everyone, you know, we can maybe ask some questions. I've brought some music in. We can pick a song at random and see what kind of synchronicity shows up. It's a fun way to interact.
I loved it. I played it online. And where is it at? Is it radio8ball.com?
Radio8ball.com.
Like the 8 is like an actual 8?
The 8 is an actual 8.
You have a thing with 8s, don't you?
Yeah, it's infinity. It's 8. I'm in Leo.
The show started at 8.
We're Leo. Yes, we have another Leo here tonight, Soquel Rice.
I am a Leo.
All right.
Gabe Romero, no harm, no foul, but she's a little more attractive than you are. We love you, Gabe, but he couldn't be here tonight. We also have...
I think Gabe's pretty hot.
Gabe's an attractive
Mike
man.
Esposito. But, dude, Mike.
He's clapping for himself.
Thank you for coming down. We also have John Donahue.
Thank you.
You're beautiful, John.
You are too, Keith. I wish I was sitting next to you.
You are a troubadour. You are an everyman, a journeyman.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Okay.
But you got a good mug for TV, though. Thank you. There should
you
be
do
more
too.
Movies and TV with John Donahue in it.
We'll talk about that in a bit, I'm sure.
Yeah. You had a really John Donahue, actually, I'm watching a trailer for something incredible, something new I'd never seen before by three of my favorite filmmakers.
Oh.
And I see a trailer for Cloud Atlas earlier this year.
Yeah.
And there's fucking John Donahue.
There's me.
With a facial hair and a tux and someone's getting thrown out a window and
I didn't get thrown out of a window, but I was.
It was a 6-minute trailer. Yeah. I cried during the trailer.
Yeah. So because you saw me.
Congratulations on.
Thank you.
My lines were cut.
But you had lines.
I had lines.
And they were cut.
There's no proof of lines, but you can see me.
What about the director's extended bonus DVD package? Are they going to put some more John Donahue packages?
I don't know when that's coming out, but there was a book that was made in Germany. It's like the script in book, like with a picture on every page, and I made it to 2 pages. It's amazing. I had more lines in that script book without lines. I don't even know if that makes sense.
No, that's good.
Okay.
Now, where'd you go? Where'd you film it?
Germany and Malta.
What a great.
And a steak sandwich.
Tom Hanks,
sounds
Halle
like a
Berry.
Humphrey Bogart movie.
No one saw it, unfortunately.
Cloud Atlas?
Random?
Oh, yes, lots of people.
You saw it? Did you see it?
Many people saw it. I did not see
Thank
it.
Thank you.
But I got very excited.
It's so good. I love the Shield.
All the groovy people I know up in the Northwest, all the sort of tripsters and, you know, crazies love it.
No, listen. Even if I hadn't worked on it, it is an amazing film. And thank you for saying that.
It's definitely a cult movie. It's one of those.
But that's great.
For years, people are going to watch it forever.
It was the greatest thing I've ever worked on.
You know, this is one of those weird things where, like, you know, when there's a movie that you just think is like one of the greatest ones, and then you come down to, like, I live in the Northwest, and I come down to Hollywood, and I find out that film has a reputation for having tanked or have been really bad, and it's like, no one I know thinks that movie is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, The Brothers Bloom is brilliant. They're like, what? No, I wasn't into that. I didn't. Yeah.
Hey, for me, it's I Heart Huckabees. I know some people.
Oh, Huckabees. She said Huckabees.
I love that film. You know, and even David O. Russell, like, it's sort of trashes it. And it's like, but. you know.
Well, if you do get a chance to see it, it's a movie. It's one of those things you can see more than once because there's always something that catches. Six different stories, six different. Every actor plays six different characters. I only played two.
Six different Tom
characters.
Hankses.
Six different Tom Hankses over whoa. Six different time periods. It's nuts. It's,
we have a caller. It's calling in from the 323. Thanks for calling in. How can I take your order?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this John Donahue?
I can tell. I know whose voice this is. Mark Geshwin, is that you?
Let me tell you, son. John Donahue is the most fun person to work with on a set. You will fucking laugh and have a ball. I'll say the name of the movie we did together,
what was
Star
that?
Trek.
Star Trek. That's right.
And let me tell you, son, if you want to laugh and tell stupid stories for 14 and 16 hours a day, that's the man. Because between his bullshit and my bullshit, we had a ball for 3 or 4 months.
Funny enough, the show is going to be 16 hours tonight, so you are in luck, Mr. Geshwin.
16 Geshwin. Hours? I'm checking out in a couple of minutes. I ain't hanging out. Hey, John, what do I say? If you ain't paying, I ain't staying,
that's
right?
It. That's right, man.
Actually, if the call sheet lasts more than 4 hours, please consult your physician. Maybe a trip to the emergency room
exactly.
might be possible.
Mark, thanks, well, man. I appreciate that. It's fun working with you, too.
Let me tell you, you got a special guy there, John.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right. Best of luck to you, John.
Thanks, man. See you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for calling
that's
in.
That's awesome, Mark.
If you want to call in, I didn't even mention
you're
the
like
number.
You're like a more likable John Corbett.
Aw.
Hey, Andras, could you
I
read that?
I was wishing I was sitting next to you.
That thing with a lot of eights in it, could you read that number for our listeners so they could call in?
That's 1-800-893-9562. Find the hidden eight there. That's 1-800-893-9562. Two.
That was okay. Awesome.
That
gave
really
Keith
awesome,
the time
actually.
To finish his hoagie.
No, he has it all over me.
That hoagie, it's the unfinishable hoagie.
I apologize to our listeners and my fans and fans of our guests and friends.
Don't apologize.
Strangers, random
just apologize to us.
Apologize to the microphone.
I smoke. Yeah.
Meatballs on
I eat on air and I apologize if, you know, I'm not being rude, but, you know, like sunflower seeds and shit like that. It's just, very busy, and this is the 1 hour I have as a rest to be able to talk to everybody, and I'm hungry, so.
If you don't finish the rest of that.
If I smack anything in your face, I'm so sorry.
Dips.
We ate Tommy's live on the air.
You know what? Why don't
the
we?
Other night. We couldn't even get to the.
Could you hear everything
on the
air?
We did a mini marathon at night, and we tried to get in. By the way, everyone, it was a mini marathon, so we had to call from the road. Hustling our ass back to Hollywood, and we're like, "There's Tommy Burger. Oh, hold on, we're gonna pull in the Tommy Burger. everything on it. Yeah, no, chili fries, cheese, cool." Then we go up to Gabe's pool and eat and finish the show on his iPhone, calling in. It was really fun.
Wow, that's fun.
You need sound effects when you're talking about drive-throughs and stuff. You need like a car sound. Does that make sense? Or am I just talking stupid?
I think you're talking a little stupid.
Okay, I'll stop.
Andras has these cards in his hand.
Well, I was gonna say, what we could do is we could do a little Radio 8 Ball, and then while the song's playing, you could eat your sandwich.
Is that like 3.5 grams, or is that just a euphemism? We're gonna do a Radio 8 Ball.
It's funny. I said Radio 8 Ball at when I came to.
This is gonna be a 16-hour
show. The car rental place, and the woman gave me this look, and I was like, no, not like the drug. It's like the game. It's like Radio 8 Ball, like a magic 8 Ball.
All right.
Does anyone else want to? Does anyone have a question that they want to ask the universe?
Professor Plum,
how does it work?
Ask a question, and I know that you're all very clever people, but
you don't know us.
Goofy questions, funny questions generally don't get the best answers.
Well, I'm out.
Let's ask something about the Oscars. You know, they're coming out.
There you go.
Yeah, we can. You know, we can. Yeah, we can check
Keith off.
We can check that out. Well, no, but then you can check the results.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What's your question, Spike?
Mike
the Spy?
Mike the Spy.
Spy in the House of Film?
Spy.
Dude, if you give a movie a bad review, you see that in a local box office? You see that in the U.S. totals? You're like, that's right. I told you it sucked. Thanks for not going. You feel the power. It's like a food critic.
It is. It's like thinking I could make Tom Hanks's career disappear by talking bad about Cloud Atlas.
Not gonna happen.
I'm kidding.
Not gonna happen.
All right, what's your Oscar question?
You know what? Let's find out. Will Argo win for Best Picture this year?
Did it get?
Yes, it was nominated. Yeah.
Okay. Will Argo, you guys ready in the studio? Okay. So I'm shuffling the cards. I got cards numbered 1 through 8. See? Mm-hmm.
All right. And they're there.
Okay. And since you asked the question.
The spy.
Spy. Mike, spy in the House of Film.
Yeah.
Will Argo win Best Picture? Okay. Pick a card. Any card. And what is the number?
It is a 7.
Song number 7. Now we're going to have the folks in the studio play song number 7 off of the disc I provided.
It's more like a Spy Key Thumb thing. You were like...
Alex, so I got to... this is actually... This music is... Oh, this is funny.
Well, everyone's a brother to someone or another. Unless, of course, you're a girl. But I've always been a boy. And mostly I enjoy being a boy. Well, I wasn't good at sports or building fancy forts, but when I was about 13, I found a magazine. You know the kind I mean. It was the most interesting thing I'd ever seen. But if I'd had a sister, then I know we'd have played every siren's tune. I wouldn't just stand staring at her tits. No, the flesh wouldn't give me fits. Oh, I'd be used to it. Yeah, I'd be used to everything. But all my life I heard it said, the best things in this world happen in the bed. I don't know why my face turned red when she turned around and said, yeah, all I wanna do is get so close to you that everything just blends. We could still be friends, though, after the wound mends. We could even do it, we could even do it, we could even do it again. We could even do it again, we could even do it again. But I never, ever met my sister, and all my life I a brother to someone or another, unless of course you're a girl.
So it's going to Lincoln?
Wait, so that was
a more. It's going to a more for sure.
That was a song,
89-year-old woman.
A song called Sister If from a CD called Unpop from my band The Previous, released way back in the mid-90s.
So was you singing?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
I didn't see your lips moving across me. I thought it was crazy.
you were jotting some sort of...
Oh, I'm just making my notes. So that was the answer to the question. Mike, Spy Mike's question. Is Argo going to win Best Picture? And I like to take like little notes and see what I got out of it. But, well, I'll tell you. Do you want me to tell you? I'll sort of like demonstrate how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
So it starts off with everyone's a brother to someone or another. And I immediately think, well, that's the Afflecks. That's Ben and Casey.
All right, sure.
Except okay. He didn't put Casey in this one. Not good.
Yeah.
Maybe he wins an Oscar for one that has the brother in it. And it is kind of a nerd song. And I think part of it is that like maybe Ben Affleck's too much of like, he's just too much of a pretty boy, still too sort of handsome. Everybody, he's still someone who like, the people who are in the Academy or are voting still feel jealous of him because they're girlfriends and
wives.
He's
a boy. Right.
Crush out on him.
Yeah.
And but he's actually a nerd. I think he is kind of a nerd at heart. Like I think this song gets to like what's actually cool about Ben Affleck, and what's making me kind of like come around for him is that he is kind of like, the movie is really very nerdy in a super cool way. Yeah. Like all the little nerdy details.
So is that going for him then in this song?
No, I think that because the guy in the song is a loser who doesn't get, like, it's just a, you know, it's a loser song. So it's like, he's going to lose. Yeah. Right, Argo definitely loses. If I based up my interpretation of this is that, yeah, that.
I got that too. They're like, maybe in the future, not this time. But we'll get you. You're going to win some Oscars later.
Nice.
2, 3, 5 years. He'll be sweeping.
Yeah. Glitter 2, I predict.
Ooh.
Is going to be, I'm going back to
with
Glitter.
Ving Rhames?
Ving somebody. Right. Ving's brother.
Bing Rhames.
Bing Rhames. I don't know.
So that's how Radio 8 Ball works. And then we got to take song number 7 out of there.
I like that song.
We do any more?
That is a great song. That was a very toe tapping.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We were L.A. was the place where we played most of our shows, where we mostly were understood, and of course, we immediately hit the road to go to places where people were much more confused by what we were doing. I was told by Keith that this is a sort of an industry type show, and I'm a walking cautionary tale. I think that pretty much you should avoid pretty much anything that I've done.
Speed bumps ahead.
Yeah. Like that. Like if you have a successful band going in LA and everyone's like, you should hit the road.
Yes.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay in LA and get, you know, and then I don't know. Why hit the road? There's nothing out there. On the road.
Yeah, but have you been to Orlando?
You know what? It's so funny you say that. Yeah. I don't want to say anything. I had a major connection in Orlando this last in October. I don't know, around Halloween.
Yeah,
met a girl.
Yeah,
a
woman all right.
Kind of rocked my world. Can't say any more than that.
All right. Well,
she was a princess.
Tentative. Thanks for teasing
us. She is kind of a princess.
Wow.
Yeah. Not in a bad way.
No.
In a good way.
Yeah.
So Orlando is a magical place.
Orlando. Yes, it is.
Full moon. Orlando.
If
hurricane.
You're gonna hit the road, go to Orlando.
That's the worst. It's so far away.
Is that where the like Universal and MGM
of course,
and Disney,
man.
All that shit?
Yes.
So I'm there with my mom. I'm maybe just 18 years old.
So like a week
ago. We were doing the cruise and the Disney Islands, and so we spent like 2-3 days in Orlando going to all the parks.
Yeah.
And a strange guy my mom had met on the cruise.
Everyone meets people in Orlando.
His connection
is like, she's like, I don't want to go to the Universal one or whatever. It had the Hitchcock, the 3D thing.
Yeah,
and I was like,
absolutely.
I want to fucking see that shit, you know? So she's like, well, he said he's going tomorrow to Universal. Why don't you go with him? So I get in like this, what are those called? Those Buick S?
Skylarks?
They're like kind of lowered looking SS. Sport or
it's a cough button.
Dude, it was just a bad like cop fake car. I'm like, I'm gonna get dommered right now. This guy's gonna kill me. And he'd already told wild stories of like drugs and cops and but I'm clean
cannibalism.
Now. And I'm like, okay,
you were gonna risk that to go to Universal.
We smoking bowls on the way to the fucking park. I'm like, who is this strange man?
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool and weird. But every once in a while, there's been like a German pilot, like Horst. Hi, how you doing? Like, we're going to go get breakfast. Great. Thanks for coming to the set, Mom. Love it. just the most strangest. My mom had a lot of men friends.
Nice.
And Orlando is strange.
Orlando,
my only
Orlando,
time
yeah.
I'd been in Orlando was for, you
Orlando
know,
sounds
cruise.
Like the name of someone's mom's strange man friend.
I am Orlando.
This is Orlando, your new dad.
He's
taking you to Universal.
I am Orlando.
It's a Lady Gaga song, right?
Orlando.
Oh, Fernando.
Alejandro.
Yeah. Wow.
One of those guys.
Orlando.
Anyway. So yeah. Why do another question?
You could take Princess Leia, what? Orlando.
Or
you could pick.
Oh,
you could get Han Solo.
I got
Orlando.
That's pretty good.
All right.
So now you've removed
Song number seven.
So yeah. now the pool goes smaller.
Yeah,
we got. How about you, John Donahue?
Yes, sir.
You got a question?
Do I have a question?
Yeah. You have the question that every actor has.
Will Argo win? No. I'm just kidding.
come on.
Let's think. Are we doing strictly Oscar?
No, it can be anything you want to ask. It's the best that it's a question that really, you know.
Yeah.
Will Cloud Atlas come out again in theaters?
No, it's not a good question.
Oh, okay.
We all know.
I know the answer.
We all know, yes, of course.
Double feature, New
my
Beverly.
My gosh, a good question.
You don't have to write it. How about you,
come back.
SoCal?
Yeah, that's
how about
great.
You, SoCal?
It's an hour show.
And it doesn't have to be Oscars?
No, it can be whatever you want to ask a question about, as long as it's a real question.
It's kind of, okay, it is a real question, and I've been wondering.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a sad question. I'm wondering if my cat's going to live for the next year.
That's a good question.
My cat's 16.
That's a real question.
She's old.
16-year-old.
She's beautiful, but she's getting...
Make sure she sees Argo
slow.
Before...
Will, what's the cat's name?
Does she vote?
Kuma.
Kuma. Mm-hmm. Will Kuma survive 2013?
Yes.
Live through 2013. Okay, I've got the cards out here. Pick a card, any card, and it comes up... Song number 2 for Kuma. and 2013. What do we get? Song number two.
Song number. They're nodding. They think and, they got it. Does.
Here it comes. Two.
Bionic man, my lonely little life was more than I could stand. So I played kid games in the shower stall, thinking about the Farrah Fawcett poster on my wall. The body always said I was a king doll. A milk-toast modest boy, flower on the wall. Tell me who wants a career as a Ken doll. Someone who looks good with a chicken at the mall. Raise it. Now she is like the solid earth, rushing toward me to evoke my birth. And I, a lonesome fireball, with only good luck and technology to break my fatal fall. But still she insists I'm a Ken doll, someone she can dress up and show up at the mall. If anyone here wants a Ken doll, this could be a candidate, but I won't be the fall guy. Accessory. I'm probably the best she's got. She wants to dangle from my arm like a bangle, but I could hurt my back walking at that angle. A single word. She denies this metamorphosis, which has occurred to me. But I belong in outer space, not dressing up in leisure suits and carrying your stupid nightcase. A young girl wants a Ken doll, someone kind of cute and someone kind of tall. If any young girl wants a Ken doll, I might have been an astronaut, but I won't be the false guy. I wanna be your 6 million.
It's all good. This song is a long fade out. It's called $6 Million Ken. It's another one of my songs, co-written with a couple of guys named Kelly Van Camp and Carl Dexter. And it's a song
that's still fading out.
Yeah, it's still fading out. It's about I'm talking over their part. I didn't write that part. It's a song from the standpoint of view of a $6 million man doll who is paired up with a Barbie doll, and she keeps trying to treat him like. He's treating him like he's Ken, and he's trying to convince her, no, I'm not Ken. I'm the fucking $6 million man. Roll up my arm. Look through my eye. I'm not a Ken doll. And that was the answer to SoCal's question about Kitty Kuma and 2013. And
she will go on forever, like the end of that song.
That's pretty good. That's not what I got, but that's pretty good.
I like something in the second verse, I think, and it did mention time or year or something. What was there was a lyric about?
There's a whole thing about the Earth rushing towards him to revoke his birth, And that's what happens to the $6 Million Man, to Steve Austin, the $6 Million Man. Many of you don't remember the $6 Million Man. Played by Lee Majors.
I had the action figure.
I'm actually speaking to the young people in the audience, not us crusty old people.
It was awesome. You could look through his eyes.
I had G.I. Joe. I done his.
But it was a phenomenon. It's that's still hilarious in the sort of like $1 million kind of way. He was the $6 Million Man.
Oscar Goldman.
I didn't understand that at first in the song.
Yeah.
When he said the roll up the sleeves and look, I thought it was look in my eye or through my eye or whatever. Yeah. So before then you whispered, it's like, $6 Million Man. And I'm like, got it.
We had to figure it out.
Because the song is called $6 Million Ken. So that sort of is the
I was picturing this horrible kitty euthanasia with her like sitting there. And so he's looking at her. I'm going to watch you die. I'm going to look. I'll be right here with you, baby, all the way to the end. And then I was like, $6 Million Man. Oh, my God. And the
bionic
the song,
kitty.
Bionic kitty. And I was like, science can keep her alive.
Yes, science can keep her alive. And it might cost...
$6 million.
$6 million.
Wow.
She will die.
And if there's problems, you might want to check out the arm. Check out her arms.
And through her eyes.
On her eyes. Because those are
she has
very
little
important.
Kitty cataracts.
So the eyes might be an issue. Mm-hmm. See there? There you go.
Now, what's the track record on these being correct? I mean, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since 1998.
No, I'm just asking.
And I've done as a radio show, as a live theater event, as an internet thing, as a way of life, and it's never wrong.
Okay.
I can't say that it's always right,
sure.
But it's never wrong.
But it comes close, maybe, right?
In the sense, well, it's like a mirror. So mm-hmm. It's like this is what it looks like in the room for all of us thinking about this question now. Mm. It's like fate, you know. Things will change. There is no fate. There's fate right now. You're looking at it's like sort of the way things are headed. So this is the answer right now for all of us in the room thinking of Kitty Kuma, but. If tomorrow something changed, like if tomorrow you decided you didn't like Kitty, like the cat anymore and decided to kill it, that wouldn't necessarily...
It voids.
Yeah, it sort of voids this because that would probably come from some sort of initiating incident that...
Because you changed the future.
Right, you changed
back to the future.
Exactly.
Right, the space-time...
Yes, the space-time continuum is a tricky wicket. But
because you have knowledge.
Well, and this is great. No, it's great that this comes up because I think that navigating synchronicity would be a key skill that a time traveler would have to have. Because I think one of the biggest traps of time travel would be that when you go back in time, you might get you get all caught up in the dramas and you immediately get caught up in that time. And then what's the point of time travel?
And you've immediately altered just by stepping there.
Right. Whereas if you can like sort of move in with synchronicity, which is always going on all the time and is not really tethered to any specific time, it's like a sense for time travel. In fact... It turns you into a present-day time traveler a little bit if you... I don't know why I'm addressing this to you, John, but I figure you're an actor.
No, I'm done. I do good eye contact.
You are a good actor because you just listen well. Yeah.
Explain to him... That Keith didn't eat.
That's really funny.
You've got half of it right
I'm looking deeply into John's eyes, telling him all about synchronicity. He's staring at a hoagie.
No, I was looking at you thinking of the hoagie.
What do you call it? Shamanistic acting, Andras? Is that what you called it? What? The shamanistic acting?
The shamanistic style of acting. Yes. Mm-hmm. Where you just like the role.
Hungry style of acting.
I've been called a shamanist pig before by a woman.
I'm not hungry now.
Shamanist pig.
Left after your hoagie. Oh, that's good. All right.
Yeah.
It's a meatball marinara brought to you by Subway.
And Mike,
did you just give that
Subway
away?
Yeah. Subway now has sriracha sauce. Did you see that?
They do. It's that hot ass shit that squirts out of the bottle.
That's what Mike's been thinking about. If you thought he was staring at you.
No, it was great. The guy who was arguing over getting free avocado on his sub got a squirt in the eye and he bailed out the door.
Yeah.
Really?
No. Mike made that up. But I did ask him to squirt it in my mouth. Oh,
we also have another sponsor, Pringles.
Pringles.
What's the flavor tonight?
Pumpkin pie spice.
Pumpkin pie spice. This is real. It's limited time only. By the way, we got this at Big Lots on the way in here. So the time might have passed when you could actually buy this fresh. So it's a dollar in Big Lots.
It had a three-minute shelf life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a Thanksgiving Day product?
You know what? We should give out the number and see if maybe we get a call. Yeah, maybe someone wants to call in and ask a question.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
What about what?
we give out the number again, and then see
can
if anyone wants to call.
Can I read the number?
I haven't had a question yet.
Keith, you should ask a question.
For callers, listeners, the number is 1-800-893-9562. That number again, 800-893-9562.
Backwards, that's 2659-398-008.
He's going to read the number and read it backwards. I couldn't even read it forward.
If you dial 888 or 866, or they're like down to 844 now. They like ran out of all the other toll-free numbers.
Completely muddied the water. No one's going to be able to know what number it
is. You won't be able to call in, but if you have a question, and it could be inane, like
will Keith finish that sandwich?
will Keith finish that hoagie? That's will my Keith question.
And now we got a fridge.
Pie Pringles off my hands.
I should put that in the fridge. So if you have a question, call in 800-893-9562. I'm going to smack somebody right now.
We're here with the Keith Coogan Brain Trust.
Yeah, brain drain.
Delving deeply into the issues of the day. Pringles.
Zombies.
Subway.
Zombies, you either shoot them.
Backwards numbers.
Or you feed them.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeding the zombies right now. Yeah, backwards numbers. You're satanic fuck. My God.
Kitties with cataracts. Oh, this is what we do.
Kitties with cataracts.
Kitties with cataracts.
Bionic kitty.
Bionic kitties.
I had a $6 million.
Sorry, Ben.
Man doll. I'd throw him.
Delivering the bad news to Ben Affleck early.
I lost him in the sand.
Still
the
a
beach.
Great film. It'll make more money than recently. Whatever wins, I bet.
You lost him recently, Keith?
I was seven years old.
Weekend at $6 million man.
I think you have way more dolls in your fucking house than I have in my life right now.
Let's not go there. They are in the closet, mister.
All of his were anatomically
just like you. 22, 30, 40, 50 dolls? Really?
They're action figures, and I don't have action figures.
How old are you? How old are you, John?
Old enough not to have action figures.
Do you lie about your age as an actor?
No, how dare you? I'm 41.
Really?
2 years younger than you.
Yeah, I've just turned fucking 43 Sunday.
Happy
birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Don't stop. We have to pay those bitches in Kansas.
No, that's right.
Don't do that.
Oh, I thought I sang enough out of tune. They'll never figure it out.
And you swung it.
Did you have a nice birthday, Keith?
I had a wonderful birthday.
You did. What'd you do?
I did. My mom took me clothes shopping.
What?
Yeah. My mom's like, hey, you know, do you want me to go out? You want to go to Universal Studios? You know, buy, you know, food.
So you have a lot of Universal t-shirts.
Want me to buy you clothes?
And, a bright yellow windbreaker with the Universal globe on the back.
Mom, I want an $8 Pepsi. Can you hook that up for me at Universal Studios?
Those are tasty.
Oh, man. When was the last time you went to Universal Studios?
Mike and I just went a week ago. And here's the thing I have a problem with. Right. Back in the day, King Kong was real at the studio. He's an animatronic, you know? And the rides were tangible. You could actually go and something would be animatronic. Now you go in, it's all, here's your glasses, it's 3D. If I wanted to watch fucking 3D, I'd just, you know, I'd go to the movies and pay $15.
They still
bucks.
Move you around.
I'll move around on my couch. I could do that. I don't need to see 3D at Universal. I want to see something real. Do you know what I'm talking about, Keith? Do you agree with me?
I went backwards. I did the Transformers 3D experience first.
Did you like it?
Loved it.
You
it
love
was amazing.
It. It's 3D. It moves you around.
Totally blew me away.
Ride. Don't get me wrong. It's a good ride.
Then we went like Simpsons, then Jurassic Park.
3D. I love Lucy.
We kept getting up to Terminator.
Well, that's gone. 3D.
What? Terminator?
They took it out. It's gone now.
I just saw it on Thanksgiving.
No, they just took it out. It just closed down after the holidays.
Oh, they were the Aww. Actors
like
were like
there.
Smoking on stage and like
that's a 20-year-old.
John, go get them. They were like totally miscast and you know.
Yeah, I was.
I remember
Connor.
The Conan show that they had forever with the dragon.
I wasn't out here then.
Oh, you didn't see it.
No,
they still have the stunt thing where the cowboys fall off the roof.
Nope.
It's Water World.
Can you still Water pick World. Up the truck?
Oh, no, they do have the cowboys on that little stretch of street?
In the same spot where they had the A-team truck.
Yeah.
Or at first it was a van, then it was the A-team van. You could lift it.
Not anymore.
I did that. That is now the Fast and Furious, the two cars that go.
That's fucking terrible.
That's exactly the spot where you
used
to be, that middle
cars
island.
Those are horrible.
No, but you
horrible.
Know it's still exactly the same as it was back in the day when we were kids? The Page Museum under the La Brea Tar Pits, and there's... The saber-toothed tiger is attacking the ground sloth, mm-hmm. and it kind of moves really slow, and it goes, it's beautiful. It's exactly as you remember it.
I don't.
Or as I remember
know
it.
What
it
is.
All right. You guys been to the La Brea Tar Pits?
Good days.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to the saber-toothed.
Yeah,
I met a girl there.
Of
American girl.
You, the La Brea Tar Pits, Orlando.
Have you been to the Albertsons on 4th and I met a girl there?
You meet girls everywhere, man.
No. Jeez. Only magical place.
Have you guys been to Saskatchewan? I met this girl there once. Good Lord. That's awesome. You should run a dating website.
You play a song to figure out who you're going to go out with.
That's great.
Yeah, my strategy is... No, I have no strategy. My strategy is not working. But the tar pits were. But the tar pits are a magical place. I don't think it has anything to do with strategy. I think that's a magical place where love blooms.
Really?
Or at the end of Miracle Mile, where love dies. Gets turned into a diamond.
What is happening?
Sorry. Choking.
Want to do another question?
Steel Reserve.
This one's Keith's, right?
Keith, question.
Sure, I'll take it.
Okay, what's your question?
No callers.
Pop Oracle. You know what? I call this the Pop Oracle.
John, did you have your question yet?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is...
Oh, John.
My question is, what is Keith's question?
No, that's not so bad, actually.
What? Thank you.
That's actually pretty good.
Awesome. That's a great question.
I started to shut it down like a bad...
Thank you. You don't think I'm thinking about this
I almost
stuff.
Shut down the improv, and that was not cool.
Thank you, sir.
So, what is Keith's question?
Don't tell us. Let's play the song.
We got to pick. Pick a card.
Okay. I like this because it's about me.
This is Colonel Mustard.
Hold it up. What's this?
It's a 4, sir.
Song number 4. We're going to go song number 4. It's a green. It's green is the
it's
color
green.
Of the card.
Does the color, is that, what do you say, that Riku, Riki, Aura reading, what color, do the colors mean something to you? Or to
different
the
things,
people
yeah.
That,
you can get up. Oh, this is great.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait to.
Call me dim and call me daft for putting myself in her path, but she could cut my heart in half. Because I'm super lame. Yes, I'm super lame at being lame. Oh, yes, I'm super lame. Whoa, that is not the same as being just plain lame like you. Like you.
I'm just going to throw it out there. Keith's question is going to be super lame.
The song was called Super Lame. It was produced by my good friend R. Walt Vincent, and who lives kind of in the neighborhood, and produced a bunch of cool people like Liz Phair and other folks, Pete Yorn and all that. But that was my song, a song called Super Lame. The question was from John was, what is Keith's question?
You love that? It's like the Matrix or something.
And you're all twittering and texting throughout the whole thing. We're so glad that someone's doing it. No, it's important.
Taking it in.
So there are two questions in the song where he says, one of those questions is, who are you to give advice? You know, so I'm wondering, it's like, that would be a question you might be asking someone else, Keith.
Yeah. Because I knew my question. So I listened to the song differently than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Because I already knew my question.
Oh.
And so I was like, this is my turn.
Well, then, yeah.
It really was dead on.
What was
for my question?
What was your question?
Well, super lame.
Earlier you'd said to John, if what about asking the typical actor question or whatever? Like, oh, am I going to have a career, or am I going to, you know, get this movie, or am I going to have a comeback? Or
that's my second question.
Have you? Your comeback is from porn.
Yes, maybe.
He's a tall man.
I'll never leave porn.
Weren't you in the $6 million man?
I'll never leave porn.
So the woman in this song who, and I hear like this, you know, kind of turning down, and he has to be okay with it. That's kind of early in one of the verses. And super lame, love that. And I love the turn of, you know, or just plain lame.
As opposed to just, you know, like super lame is cool.
Like you. And my question was the actor question. And courting Hollywood, and how many dances. Are we going to have more dances, Hollywood?
Hollywood's the girl in the song.
The girl in the song has always been the other woman in my past. With every past relationship I've ever had, the Hollywood thing was the other woman. And it took attention away from, you know, somebody. And you'd fly away and there'd be, you know, distance sometimes. And, you know, it's a lot of work to do two fucking, you know, like studio pictures a year. So the career is the lady in the song. The question, my question was the actor Hollywood question. And what's great was the line about having to be okay with it. And that's okay. I was like, that's, you know, I've come to accept that. From the turn of the Mayan apocalypse or whatever, you know, then swing around. I'm like, all right, I'm 43 now. I'm like, all right, I'm good.
That song was pretty, answered two questions pretty much. I think.
So it gave us what were the two questions?
What was his question?
Well, it didn't.
No, am I wrong?
So how did it answer for you? Right? No, it did because I asked about, hey, Hollywood,
tell us exactly what your question was.
Will I have a comeback?
Will you have a comeback?
Now, but the song answered John's question of what Keith's question was.
Super lame.
Super lame.
Right, but that's...
But I could also
is that the answer to your question?
Yeah.
Will I have a comeback?
Oh, super lame. Because the ego gets involved and people are like, well, are you going to do more movies? And I'm like, I did like 24. How many more do I have to do? Is there a limit? Am I good? Am I cool? Or do I have to keep grinding away? I'm good, and I've done more stuff than most actors will ever do in their career.
But here's,
so shouldn't I be kind of content with that? They're not, though, when they question me.
But no one's
and
content.
So that's where the ego kicks in, and well, okay, I'm super lame. But at least I'm not regularly plain lame like you, motherfucker.
Wow.
Because I get pissed.
They're
pushing a button
now.
They're pushing a button.
Yeah,
I'm warning you, John.
Staring at me.
You've got a toe or two in the fucking bone machine, and it's about to suck your ass right in.
Is that good? That's a good thing, right?
He's got a toe in the bone machine?
Yeah. I would pay anything to have a toe.
Hollywood, his career is on fire.
What comes out of
working and going out?
You're on fire.
Well,
you're on fire and your toe's in the bone machine. This sounds like a horrible movie.
Well, it's the porn thing.
He's on fire and his toe's in the bone machine.
No, the movie is called The Bone Machine.
And it's a porn. This is a weird porn.
On that note,
thank you for answering, asking my question and answering my question for me in one song.
You.
That was awesome.
I can read you.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Andre. Yeah.
We're kindred.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I would just say that what I would get is, and this is, I think, for all of us.
Ooh, we have a caller. Hey, thanks for calling.
The older we get,
in.
You know, the more we can surrender to our super lameness, the better.
Thanks. Our super lameness? Oh, I surrendered to that. I was a nerd in school. 323, thanks for calling. How can we help you? What do you want? We got fries. We also got the Slurpee machine's not working.
And you could ask a question to the Pop Oracle if you were so inclined.
I just wanted to check and see if you think that by the same token that, that someone who has worked already in Hollywood would ask, will I have, you know, will my career surge again? Or, as you said, because some people don't care. Some people go, you know what, I've done that. I'm on to the next things in my life. But I wonder, you know, if this same amount of people who ask that are the amount of people who ask, will I ever make it?
Demi Moore.
Are you asking that, caller?
I don't know. Why would I ask you guys?
Everyone.
Well, you're asking the Oracle. You're not asking us. We have no answers for you.
Oh, all right.
No, but is that your question? Would you like to ask a question?
Oh God.
We're totally putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Are you an actress? Or are you a writer?
Can we give you do you have a handle? Because you know, we want to keep everyone.
Nombre.
What can we address you as?
You could call me by my name if you like.
Oh, what is that then?
Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. So, Vanessa.
Yes.
I take it that you have had some adventures in the screen trade. And are speaking from experience of feeling like you've done this and now moved on to higher art or different, more engaged roles?
Not necessarily. For me, I have found that I have worked in lots of different areas. And as you had said, some people ask, Keith, as you had said, some people ask you, you know, well, do you think you'll ever, when do you think you will? And part of you says, well, I've done that. And how many more do I have to do? And I think sometimes people ask that if you've been in the business for a while and you've done lots of work and you've done lots of things, but maybe you haven't become famous or you haven't reached that quote-unquote status. And so they figure
that... But it's never about the fame or the status. It's always about the work and the product
the story. And that's... I wonder if that's... If it's the same... That's what I was saying. If it's the same amount of people, you know, who say, you know, will I make a comeback, as it is people who say, will I ever be famous? You know, because
I think there's thousands and thousands of more people that are asking, will I ever be famous? Because there's...
Right.
There's 130,000 SAG actors in Los Angeles alone.
Don't freak me out.
And there's like 145 working roles every season.
Right.
It's like there's... Now, reality shows, there's so much less real, you know, TV. And it's great. It's great TV, but... Really, it's a hard way to make an easy living.
Right. And because of that, I think the roles have gone down even more because those roles that used to be taken by, you know, lesser known actors are now only being given to known actors because there are less of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's become, I would, you know, say maybe even harder.
And that's super lame.
No, that's not. That's not super lame. That's super lame, just pal. Plain lame.
Yeah, thank you. Super plain
but,
lame.
But casting a known face or entity saves time, and sometimes people even write in the script someone who maybe looks a little like James Caan or someone who looks not quite unlike, you know, Robin Williams. And they'll get the script and they'll go, okay, I'll do it. And they'll have gotten the actor by referencing in the script. They kind of want the actor. And it's a shortcut. When they wrote it, they used them as an inspiration. I'm thinking of Bill Murray the whole fucking time.
I always get roles as
no one else could do this but Bill Murray.
Looking for Keith Coogan type. And I always get that.
Looking for a Keith Coogan?
Yeah, I always get those roles.
Funny. We want a young Keith Coogan. It could be like a foot taller.
Yep. Got it.
Bring him in here. Can he sing? Because Keith can't fucking sing.
Listen, I know Keith. You don't... Okay.
So, Vanessa, thank you. That's such a great...
great insight.
Yeah.
But Vanessa, do you have a question? You want to play this Pop Oracle game? It's fun.
Oh, sure.
Do you have a question for the Pop Oracle? Something, anything you like that you'd ask, like an 8-ball or a tarot deck, or you know, you sound like a soulful person.
I do my best.
You've been to the Gypsy Tent a time or two.
Right now, so forgive me.
No, your voice sounds great. I thought you were Ray Don Chong.
You should keep it lost, Vanessa. It's very hot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's see. Okay, so but does it have to be related to pop culture?
It can be related to anything you want in life.
Anything.
Or art,
we'll supply the pop culture.
Any question.
Yeah.
You just supply the reality.
All right. Here is my question. Does it have to be a yes or no kind of a
no,
thing?
No. No. In fact.
Okay. I
thought
question.
That was the question.
My question is, what's Vanessa's question?
No. Why was Cloud Atlas so completely overlooked?
Thank you. I love that question.
I'm asking just you gentlemen, your opinions, because
okay.
I enjoyed the film very much.
Did you like me, Vanessa?
It was beautiful and a challenge and really smart and not confusing, as a lot of people said it was. And I really enjoyed it. And so I'm wondering why it sort of got snubbed.
That's a great question.
Sort of. Got rammed.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Who hasn't picked a card yet? Keith, can you pick a card for Vanessa's question?
On his behalf, I'll pick a card.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's an eight.
Song number eight.
Wow, the eight ball.
Song number eight. Why was Cloud Atlas misunderstood?
But put it lightly.
Yeah. Well, let's see what we get from song number eight. The card is white.
Eight is great.
Eight is great. Infinity, sideways.
Like an advertisement for the brave unconscious way. That's what I thought too, till I went to the webpage of Dorian Gray.
It's the webpage of Dorian Gray.
It ain't no different today from that pic in the book by that guy who was gay. Disavows all connection with that address today. Oh, it's the webpage of Dorian Gray. It's the webpage of Dorian Gray. It's like the links go on forever. Endless rivers of youth decay. Got a glimpse and then a power surge severed my connection to the web page of Dorian Gray. Dorian Gray was there and was gone, and nothing came up when I tried to log on. The web page of Dorian Gray, it just works that way, and now no one believes one word that I say about the web. That's what I thought too, till I went to the webpage of Dorian Gray. Webpage of Dorian Gray. It's the webpage of Dorian Gray. Ain't no different today from that pic in the book by that guy who was wild. On the webpage of Dorian Gray.
That was live.
That was me. That was a song called "The Web Page of Dorian Gray."
That's
of all the songs that are on there. That was the one that I wrote and produced all by myself on my old Tascam 8-track back when things were analog. And that was the answer to Vanessa's question: why was Cloud Atlas so misunderstood and snubbed? And I heard a lot of good answers in there, but I'm kind of curious, Vanessa. Did you get any particular insight out of that song into?
Well, you know, actually, what I got from it, and of course, this may just be, this is what I thought already, and I'm imprinting what I thought already into.
As
the
long
song,
as you can connect it to the song, there's no wrong answer.
You want me to cut right now?
But the way that I thought of it is that, you know, Hollywood projects this image that, you know, here we are, come from wherever you are in the world and get famous. You know, you too, you know, girl in Iowa can be famous, although I wasn't from Iowa. And
you
when
you
someday. Get here, you realize, oh, no, it's very different than
that. Don't you have a girlfriend in Iowa?
No. What?
It is very different. Vanessa, thank you so much for calling in. We have to take a very short break.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We'll be back in 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the call sheet. And more coming right up.
Ah! Good. All right. I want to make sure.